This is Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
This is Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Friday, July 23rd, 2021, and we are going to be talking about Christianity and anarchism. This is the third video that I'm going to be putting out from my most recent book, The Conscious Resistance Trilogy, which it was re-released in 2020. Originally, the books came out 2015, 2016, 2017. We're going to talk about the intersection of Christianity and the political philosophy of anarchism. And before I do that, I want to remind you guys to bookmark my website, theconsciousresistance.com. For those of you who might be watching me for one of your first times, go to theconsciousresistance.com. And that's where you can find the links that I'm going to be reading from, including this post, Can You Be a Christian and an Anarchist? And I would love to hear your thoughts commenting on DLive and Float, or if you're watching on Facebook as well. And specifically, we're going to be reading chapter 12 of this book, The Conscious Resistance Trilogy, which is about this, and it's called Intersections of Christianity and Anarchism. And before we get into that, I will tell you a little bit more about this book. So again, it's the Conscious Resistance Trilogy. I'm trying to show you the, here, let me just stop sharing my screen for a second. You can see the chapters right here in the second part are Intersections of Christianity and Anarchism, Judaism and Anarchism, Islam and Anarchism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism. And basically, we go through different world traditions and religions and show the connections to anti-authoritarian anarchist thought that some of you might not be aware of, especially, you know, some of the beliefs you hold. You might not realize that the roots of them are actually kind of anti-authoritarian, almost even anarchist. But that's what we're going to be talking about. So it is coming from that chapter, which is chapter 12 out of the book. And there's a preview of that in the link below, wherever you're watching from, that's on the website, the front of theconsciousresistance.com. So I'm just going to be kind of going through some of this essay and getting this conversation started. And the reason that my writing partner, John Vibes, and I wrote about Christianity and anarchism and Buddhism and Judaism and Islam and all these different traditions is because when I first started to write this book and explore my beliefs as of the conscious resistance, or what I now call holistic anarchism, my beliefs as an individual, as a human, as a spiritual person, as an anarchist, as an activist. And we started to see that the church and the state are just two different mechanisms of control. Whatever church you want to talk about, Christian church, Islam, et cetera, they often are used in that way to direct their political institutions as well. You know, the churches can tell people like, oh, don't support this bill or support this war because it's a righteous war. You know, it's a just religious war for, you know, we're the good guys, whatever. So the church and the state can both be used to manipulate people's minds and to control and manipulate people. So that needs to be remain clear. Whatever your whatever your religious or spiritual philosophical beliefs are, the fact remains that religions have and can be used to control people for ulterior motives and agendas. So that needs to be recognized first. So John and I saw that. We saw that when you go back into history, you have the church trying to control people and their philosophical, spiritual interpretation and connection to God, to the universe, to creator. And then the state, government, etc., the state, the government, the institution that has a monopoly on law and punishment and things of that sort on a specific geographic landmass, the U.S. government, the Mexican government, the Australian government, whatever, that state, that institution, it also tries to control us in the physical realm. So the religious churches and organizations and the popes and the priests and that kind of priest class, they try to control people through the spirit. And the state tries to control your body, the physical realm. But together, these two institutions can hold us back and limit us in many, many ways. And so we saw this just really interesting, you know, kind of dynamic there. And the more we started to explore different traditions, we also understood that, ultimately, before the church and the state came into power, you know, life wasn't perfect. You know, we don't want to oversimplify and kind of give a cartoonish version of history. But before the state took over, there were people, there were tribes of people. There were the tribes of Europe. There were the tribes of what we call North and South America and Africa and other places. And there were people organizing their own lives and their own affairs with or without a government. Of course, you know, we've always had some sort of authority trying to assert itself. You go back to before the modern state, you got kings and you got, you know, feudal rulers and things of that short, that of that sort. But my point is that there you can look through history in different parts of the world, as we cover in this book, and see that when people are free from government, they find ways to organize, right? So without government, without the state, we learn to organize and live our physical lives. Without churches or priests or pastors or popes saying, hey, you have to go through me to understand and reach God, reach enlightenment, etc., then the people were free to explore their own spiritual traditions. And sometimes this is called shamanism, druidism, paganism. And it's interesting because now a lot of Christians and other folks who are, they're kind of scared of those things, even though it's really the roots. You know, Christianity at the end of the day, like all religions, is just a cult that took hold and became very popular. And so we are the result of that. So now that I've said all that, let's get into what Christianity and anarchism might have in common. And it's interesting. I got a couple of comments over here. We got Ryan saying, nope, as a Christian, you enter a covenant with your coven. I don't quite understand that, what he's referring to. Then Chris says, I thought Jesus was the ultimate anarchist. And indeed, I would agree with that. Shadical says, you cannot be a true Christian and not be an anarchist. I enjoy that as well. So yeah, lots of different opinions and beliefs. And I appreciate that. Thanks for commenting and sharing your thoughts, guys. I'm going to go ahead now and get into some of this essay. So I encourage you to either read the link on the website or just buy the book if you want to. I don't want to read it to you. But the main point that we'll start with is that, as I just said, that religion can be used to control, manipulate people. I'm not here to get into a debate over the authenticity of the Bible. That's not the point of this video, or what Jesus did or did not do, or if he was even a historical person. We're just going to take the stories for what they are. And, you know, of course, I think it's important for Christians to consider not just the Holy Bible, but the Gnostic Gospels and the other books that describe Christ's life as well, to get a full accounting. So the one point I want to make is that in 325 AD, the Roman Church held the Council of Nicaea, a meeting of ranking church figures. They discussed how they would deal with the explosion of the Christian philosophy in their society. The church knew that if they were to let things continue as they were, all the subjects would convert to Christianity in a very short time. They had to find a way to subvert this trend and convert Christians back to the traditional structure to maintain control. And this is just that throughout history, kings and queens and dynasties are happy to change religions if it means they can maintain control over the people. To achieve this goal, the establishment decided to merge Christian teachings with their own in such a way that the radical message of peace and freedom that Christ was preaching was replaced with the hierarchy of the Roman Church. The outcome of the Council of Nicaea stated that Christ was the Son of God and that he was to be treated as a divine figure. This went against Christ's insistence that he was only a messenger and that the people should follow his message, not worship him. And I think that's an important point. You know, often after, if you assume Christ is or anybody's real, once they're gone, you know, their message can be interpreted one way or the other. Christian followers who mostly belonged to the working illiterate class were deceived by the church into supporting the council's changes, even celebrating the fact that the church had finally formally recognized their savior. Most Christians did not understand the true implications of the terms that their rulers laid out at the Council of Nicaea. The church then used the supposed divinity of Christ as supporting evidence for all of their philosophies, basically just saying, like, look, now we're Christian. That makes us this holy empire, you know, this holy empire that is like the fulfillment of Christ, right? And that's kind of some other, you know, issues here. But my point here is that when you really do study, you know, study Christ standing up to the bankers, essentially is what it came. The money changers is, you know, what one interpretation. According to biblical writings, Jesus used physical force to throw the money changers out of a temple, which was the only account of him getting physical with anyone. As far as I know, I've heard other people say different. The money changers, we consider them to be like an ancient banking cartel, of course, that existed and still do exist. And he tend to stand up against them. And one thing we say here is that this is the way the establishment has watered down and misdirected the revolutionary message of Jesus. This is the most successful strategy of silencing and corrupting revolutionary movements. And it is the ruling class, which it which when they are backed up against, and it is the ruling class, which it is when they are up against the wall. They know attempts to fully eradicate a social movement only make that movement stronger and give it more credibility. So instead, they corrupt the message and turn it into a tool of social control. Even in the accounts of Jesus that have not been destroyed by the church, we can see his apparent opposition towards the oppressive systems of government, banking, and organized religion. Now, I know that, again, especially if those of you who are listening who are Christian, I'm not Christian. I grew up in a Christian family. I am an anarchist, but I'm not a Christian. But some could say, well, no, you know, the church tells us to, and I've heard my mother, when I go back and visit her back in Texas, like listening to stuff like church on TV and these pastors telling people like that they should follow the government, that that's like, you know, that that's what God wants, like obedience to the government and to the lawmakers and the cops and things. And I don't agree with that at all. So I'm sure there can be some interpretation, open into interpretation for that. But I do want to share one other point about this whole issue. And again, please do share your thoughts, comments, whatever you've got on this topic. I'm going to read another section from this chapter from the Conscious Resistance Trilogy. And again, this chapter is called The Intersections of Christianity and Anarchism. And we're going to talk about a couple other movements and then get into this whole Christian anarchism aspect, right? So I'll just read these two sections. The Quakers are an entire sect of Christianity that is openly anti-authoritarian. The Quakers are also the group with the deepest history of both activism and anarchist philosophy. Sadly, in mainstream thought, Quakers are often confused with the Puritans, a sect of Christianity in colonial America that was known for being repressive and tyrannical. The Quakers and the Puritans had two totally different schools of thought. The Puritans believed the Bible granted religious organizations over authority over human beings, while the Quakers believed each individual was capable of forming his or her own connection with God, and there was no need for an external authority. The only reason these groups are often confused is because they are both Christian sects that escaped England for the New World, but in all other respects, they could not be more different from one another. The Quakers do not recognize human authority. In fact, authority is not even part of their vocabulary. It says, for example, Quakers will not refer to a person by such a title as judge, officer, president, your highness, your honor, your majesty, or any of the terms that the peasants are given to, you know, told to repeat. The Quakers also played a role in the abolition movement in the United States and in the Underground Railroad and many other civil rights struggles. So that's kind of like another interesting thing. I think that those maybe would be, by modern standards, be seen as like extremist Christians, right? Who are like, hey, no, we reject all of the authority other than God, and man can't tell us this, and the Pope's not God, and this local pastor's not God. That kind of gets us into sort of an anarchist way of thinking, because again, although I'm not Christian, I have my own spiritual traditions and beliefs. I do not recognize the authority of the US government or any other government, because I do think that I believe in natural law, and I know how to respect other free human beings, other free life out there, and let them live their life to the fullest so long as they're not harming me, and trying to achieve balance in that way. And I know that I answer to my creator, and I have that relationship. And so I don't need the government or the cops or anybody else to tell me what's wrong. And a lot of the things that they claim are wrong aren't really, there's no harm, there's no wrong being done. You know, they do a lot of immoral things. I don't think that the creator of this world, whether you come from a Christian perspective or otherwise, would endorse or condone the things that we see in our world today. That's just my perception. Okay, so then I want to read this section here about the history of Christian anarchism. Another important thread in the history of Christian anarchism are the ideas presented by author Leo Tolstoy. Tolstoy was living under the rule of the Russian Orthodox Church, which had merged with the Russian state and promoted a sanitized state Christianity. He recognized the hypocrisy of a government claiming to embody the teachings of the rebellious Christ. So that's kind of like what I said before with the Roman Catholic Church, did a similar thing back in the day. Tolstoy outlined his thinking and the vision of a Christian anarchism with his book, The Kingdom of God is Within You. I've always loved that phrase. The book was banned in Russia because Tolstoy called for organizing society based on interpreting Christianity focused on preaching nonviolence, non-violent resistance, and universal love for all beings. The Kingdom of God is Within You derives its title from the Bible, specifically Luke 17:21, which states, quote, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the Kingdom of God is within you. Tolstoy rejected the idea that the church or the state would have a monopoly on the relationship with Christ. He said, this is Tolstoy, quote, nowhere nor in anything except in the assertion of the church can we find that God or Christ founded like what the churchmen understand by the church. So basically saying like, God, Jesus didn't say form a church. You know, God's not calling for these churches. Tolstoy also believed that when Christ told his disciples to turn the other cheek, he was calling for the abolition of violence. This is Tolstoy again. How can you kill people when it is written in God's commandments, thou shalt not murder? He believed Christians were called to love their enemies and reject the notion of revenge. And finally, one final point here is that Tolstoy believed that Christians should seek to undermine the illegitimate moral authority of the state. I think that's really cool. So that's just a couple of pieces. You know, the chapter's not super long, but I wanted to bring that to your attention. Again, the last 2 weeks I've read other chapters from this book. I've read a chapter last week about the power of solitude. That's chapter 8 here. And the week before that on the inner child, which I think is chapter 4. And every Friday for the next like 8 or 9 weeks, I'm going to be kind of going over different chapters in this book. This is 3 books in one, the Conscious Resistance Trilogy. And that will be the last chapter we're going to read from the first book, Reflection on Anarchism and Spirituality. And as I said, the rest of that section there, we go into Judaism and anarchism, Islam and anarchism, Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism. And we look at these different traditions and try to see, I'm not saying that they're all anarchists per se, but definitely when you look at these traditions as originally spoken by the people who invented them, in this case, Christ and Christianity, he wasn't calling for people to be obedient to the government or to the cops or to the church or really anybody. I mean, you can create your own relationship, I think, with God, with Creator, whether you're a Christian or otherwise. And you don't have to follow the words of some other man or have, it's interesting. It could be interesting, like listen to somebody interpret the Bible and hear their interpretation. But I think you should definitely be weary, again, Christian or otherwise, of some other man, woman, human being interpreting and sort of serving as a conduit for your relationship to the divine and the Creator, whatever name you give the Creator, right? That we don't need, I've always said this, like, I don't need, you know, if I get married, right, like me and Miriam decide to be officially married, I don't need to get married by the state or by the church, because I don't need a pastor or a piece of paper to tell me that I love somebody, right? And the same way, I don't need the government or a pastor or a church to tell me that I can connect to the divine or to tell me that I'm a free person. You know, we can do that all on our own. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say on this topic. I do appreciate you guys' comments. I'm going to read a couple more of the comments. Yiska says, all Jesus wanted was trust and faith, not works or oaths to government or not. So yeah, and somebody says, Shadical says, political support directly advocates aggression or the initiation of force or coercion against your neighbor, it is in direct contradiction of Christ. I think that is true. Like you know, this is one thing that we as anarchists, Christian or otherwise, have tried to point out, is that if you can't call yourself a moral person if you can say, well, I'm not stealing from somebody's pockets or I'm not sending them off to die in war, but you're voting for the politicians that are letting that system happen and creating that system. And so you are playing a role in that. And if you say, hey, I'm voting for the lesser of evil, I mean, I feel like that kind of just goes against a lot of religions in the first place. Like you're voting for evil. You're settling for something that's less than holy, you know, less than what we know it could be. And none of us are going to be perfect, of course, right? But maybe we can aim for better people in these positions, or just, as Christian anarchists would say, let's just abolish the government. And what Christian anarchists really want, many of them, and there's, you can, if you dive into this whole kind of genre, I think it's really fascinating. You can find a variety of Christian anarchists and maybe even Christian libertarians or Christian, like people who are kind of on the edge of saying they don't want government, but they definitely want things to follow more of a Christian path. Also, I should say, this could go horribly wrong. There are definitely people who are super conservative and super Christian or Catholic or whatever, religious. And if they had their way, they might have some Christian Sharia law, right? Where it's like, you know, just taken to the extreme, right? We always have to be weary, I think, of taking things to the extreme. And that's why at the end of the day, as an anarchist, you just abolish this hierarchical centralized system and say, look, you go live by the religion and the beliefs that you want. So long as you're not harming anyone else or causing harm to us, you live under the religion and beliefs, or lack of religion if you're an atheist, and again, have freedom and let freedom reign. Like you're freedom of religion, of course, like the whole idea of what the United States is supposed to be about, or at least some people hoped it would be about, freedom of religion, but also not having centralized governments over us, because you recognize that as a Christian, as just a human being, right, that it is immoral to have these institutions over us. And especially if you're a Christian, you can clearly see that
the illegal wars and killing people in other countries, invading lands, conquering them in the name of freedom and keeping us safe, spying on people, you know, just so much of what we see funded by and taking place through governments is immoral and is anti-Christian. So yes, you can be a Christian, and yes, you can be an anarchist. And I would say, and I think others might agree, that maybe to be a truly consistent and philosophically sound and consistent person, to be a consistent Christian, you might have to reject government, because otherwise you're sort of endorsing an evil system. But that's just my thoughts. Let me know what you guys think below. I'm out of here for today, guys. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and please do comment below, share this wherever you can. One more reminder, I'll let you guys know, we've been running our crowdfunding campaign for the Pyramid of Power documentary series. We're about to start. We're making progress on season two, and hopefully we'll be releasing that in early September. And we're raising $15,000 to pay my editors and pay me for my time so we can create the best 4-hour documentary possible. And we're 93% of the way there. If you can support it all and help get us there, then please do check that out. I'll put the link below. And that's pretty much it, guys. I appreciate your time. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. And yes, if you're Christian, you might want to think about anarchism. Peace.
This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea.